All right. Let's go, legacy members. If you are a legacy member, that means that you've been in No BS for at least a year. So you have been probably using hashtag No BS for life. And this is your call where we will coach on the things. It does not matter if it's weight loss, it can be life related. Whatever floats your boat, you get to get coached on it. So if you want to get coached, all you got to do is raise your hand and I will call on you and we will start with Pam. Hey, Mickey. Mickey, I'm sure you hear this all the time. It's like, hey, Mickey. I was just about ready to do the whole song, but I'm not going to. I'm going to save myself the humiliation because I'm not a good singer. All right, Pam.
Hi there.
Okay.
Thank you for this. I've lurked around for 2 years and have never been coached before, so this is weird to me.
It's all right.
But I've been around for 2 years, and today I weigh exactly the same as I did when I first weighed in. And
Okay.
I start and I stop and I start and I stop, and then I wake up in the morning, and this week is going to be the week, and I just let myself down and I just don't follow through.
Why do you think that is?
Because it's easier not to.
How does it like, why is it easy? Like, what is, okay, so then what's hard about what you're doing?
Try it just seems like a lot. And I know you say don't try to do all the things, but my mind wants to do all the things. I had great success. I started in November of 2022, and I had great success in January. And I looked at my habit tracker, and I had done all the things every day, every single day. And I lost like 7 or 8 pounds that month, which I thought was fabulous.
Was it hard?
Yes.
And what was hard about it that month?
Well, I think never feeling quite satisfied, never just always feeling not quite enough.
Enough what?
Enough. Like when I would stop eating, I would feel like, oh, I just wish I had a little bit more, but I'm
And
gonna
what,
stop.
so why do you wish you have a little bit more?
It's just I can't explain it. It was just a feeling that I had, and so I'm really good at waiting for hunger, and I'm really good at
Let's
sleep.
take, well, before I'm sure you're good at some stuff, but let's stick with this thread because I think this is going to be where your answer is.
Okay.
Okay. What about, like, let's say that today you were going to be stopping at enough instead of eating to what you think would be satisfying. So, what is the difference between enough and you having, like, well, this is plenty. I'm satisfied. What is the difference there for you?
So I love to eat when I'm really hungry. I love the feeling when you eat and you eat enough and you just feel good.
How do you know that's not your enough?
Well, because I haven't lost weight.
Right. Have you been eating to where it feels good, or have you been eating to where it feels more than good? Like a little bloaty, a little.
No, I don't get bloating.
Okay.
Very, very seldom do I go to that.
Okay. So right now, if you're planning, are you planning at all?
I go in spurts. I'll plan for a few days and then I'll drop it. Like last month, let me look at my tracker. I think last month I only planned like 8 days out of the month.
Okay.
Yeah, about 8 days I did.
Did planning feel hard?
Yes.
And why?
Because some things are easy to plan because they're regular. I have a lot of social events and I have a hard time planning because something will come up that I don't expect, and then I don't have a plan for that.
But why not just keep planning? And then on those days, if something unexpected comes up, just call that, well, this one's an off plan eat, but that doesn't mean I don't plan tomorrow.
Yeah, I can do that because I feel like, okay, I've blown it.
Okay, so that's one thing you have to overcome to lose weight is fits and starts because you're hard on yourself.
Right.
Like from the very beginning, the very first lesson of No BS, what is the one thing I tell every single person that will fuck weight loss over more than anything? Right, how you talk to yourself. It won't be because you got invited out to eat last minute. It's not going to be because it's Halloween and there's candy. It won't be because you're eating until this feels really good. It will be the story you tell about all of it. Because right now, if like you could plan probably a lot of your life and you're throwing all of the a lot of the part away because, well, there's these times like 7 times a week I get invited out. I mean, is your life where like at least 7 times a week it's so spontaneous and unexpected? You're just like, I've got at least 7 events a week that come up and I could never plan for those.
No, it's probably only about three or four.
All right, so let's talk about those, and then we're going to go back and we're going to talk about the eating the gap between enough and physically satisfied, okay?
Okay.
Let's start with though, three or four. Tell me the three or four that happened last week in the briefest of terms.
So a friend was in town.
Okay.
Wasn't expected to be in town, and we caught up with each other at a restaurant.
Okay, so y'all went out to eat, and where'd you go?
There's a club that's here in my neighborhood that we went to.
Oh, is this the first time you've ever been there?
Go there all
Oh, you go there all the time.
time. I
So
know
that one
exactly what's
doesn't
on the
count.
menu. I have
So
the
that
menu
one doesn't count at
memorized.
all because if that is a place that I eat out all the time, I have what's called a plan. So it's like, oh, well, if I get invited out and I know I'm going to go there and it's last minute, here's what I would eat on that occasion.
Okay. That's true.
Yeah, that's not spontaneous. That's
What
called
was, yeah, it
ritualistic
wasn't,
if you go there all the time.
but it wasn't on my plan.
Right. But here's the thing. Your plan is not there for you to follow it. Your plan is there for you to be intentional about how you're going to eat. So if you get invited at the last minute to go out and you, let's say you made a plan to eat, I don't know, grass for dinner. You're now a rabbit and you're like, but I got invited to the club that I go to all the time. How? I don't know why. Ooh, I just can't do it. This doesn't work. I'm like, no, we just go to the club and we're like, all right, if I meant to eat grass for dinner, if I'm here, what would be the intentional thing to order? That would be in the spirit of how I planned. So if I had planned for tonight to, let's say you weren't going to eat grass, you were going to eat, what is something that you would eat at home? That you would plan for.
Oh, something like, I don't know, spaghetti.
Okay, spaghetti. And you go to the club. What would be an intentional swap?
There are plenty of options. I could order my favorite Cobb salad. I could order their pasta.
Yeah.
Then
And
I
you
get there
would
with
be
my
right
friend.
on plan.
What? Here it is. Here it is. I get there with my friend and we start talking and we're eating. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's not. We start talking and we start drinking wine and then I've gone past enough.
Yeah, so here's a super crazy thing. You know that whole story you have about needing to eat until you're satisfied? Boy, you just lied like a dog.
Did, and I didn't
Because
even know
that
it.
is not why you overeat at a restaurant. You lose track of time. It isn't because you need to feel stuffed. It's none of that. It's like, oh, I'm just eating. So if I want to lose
I
weight,
lied to myself and then to you and everybody who's on this call.
all 264 of us legacy members. All right. So here's the thing we have to think about. In order for me to lose weight, one of the things I have to learn how to do is go out to eat and just make sure that I'm intentional. Now, on the scale of 1 to 4, between 1 being this is like I might as well drive nails up my veins, this is how hard it is, and 4 being I'm laying on a feather pillow and someone's peeling grapes and dropping them into my mouth is so easy. Where are we at on a scale of 1 to 4 on? So one of the things I have to learn how to do when I go out to eat is be very intentional. I just need to, like, on the way there, think about how I want to eat, what is in the spirit of weight loss, what's not dieting, what will be fun, but also in the spirit of someone who's going to lose weight. How hard is that?
Two and a half. Well,
You
go
only get to, we have to do round numbers. We can't do halves. You know why I give you 1 through 4?
Why?
Because if you pick a 1 or a 2, then I know we need to do more coaching. If you pick a 3 or 4, you're good. If you pick a 2.5, that's like, then I might as well said, do me 1 through 5 so you can pick a 3. 3 means non-committal.
Right.
And you're trying not to commit
Okay,
to that.
that is a three.
Okay. That's why we want to know, because now what we want, now we know that the way that I just presented it is a lot less harder thinking than the way you present it to yourself. You think there's no way I can lose weight with my wildly spontaneous life.
Okay.
And I think doesn't matter how spontaneous your life is. All I think is like, oh, if you go out to eat, especially to a restaurant that you frequent all the time, it should be really easy to figure out what to order,
Right.
create a plan in your brain
Right.
to swap what you were doing.
And then the hard thing is paying attention, I think, to stop.
Yeah, but let's think about why that would be hard rather than just not that hard. Because right now, I don't like, I just want you to think about it. Would it be hard, or did it not dawn on you that when you're with a friend, you may want to do little things? Like when I go out to eat, like when I'm at home, I never put my fork down. I just eat until I'm done. Because most of the time, like 9 times out of 10, every one of my meals, I know I'm going to finish them because after years and years of eating, especially because I'm, a 50-year-old adult now, I've gotten really good at knowing about how much does it for me. Like, I don't have to just sit there and be like, I need to pay attention to every bite because I've never slowed down before. It's like, now at this age, I'm just like, I kind of know about how much to eat. So at home, I don't even have to hardly think about it. So it's not that hard because I'm not going to overserve myself. Now, when I go out to eat, I know I'm going to be overserved every time, twice on Sunday. That is the way restaurants work. They always overserve unless you're paying like, $500 for your plate. It's always funny to me. The more
Inflatable.
expensive the meal, the less food you fucking get. The cheaper the meal, the bounty of pleasure you
Right.
get. It's
Right.
so weird how that works. So if I know I'm going someplace that's going to overserve me, I know I've got to do things. I just have to eat differently, but I don't have to make it hard on myself. If it was hard, it would be because I would be sitting there thinking, this sucks. I just want to eat it all. I'm trying to have a good time and I can't. I have to eat this. I only get to eat this much. If I'm sitting there giving myself a hard time about food, guess what? My experience is hard. But if I just do little things like, I know for me, when I go out to eat, I want to enjoy the experience and I also want to enjoy myself the next day. So I put my fork down between every bite. I don't do that at home. So it's different, but it's something that I do when I go out to eat so that I am purposely having to stop and not just get into the rhythm of eating, because eating is rhythmic. And especially when we're connecting and we're having a good time, we do get into rhythms. Our brains love a good rhythm. Like watch the next time you go walking with a friend. Here's what I bet happens. You don't let them get way ahead of you or way behind you. You do something called co-regulate. Right. Our brain's looking for rhythm. Sometimes our brain, even unconsciously, tries to walk in step with people without us even trying, because it's always trying to co-regulate. So when we go out to eat and we're connecting, our brain is going to want to co-regulate. So if everybody else is still eating, guess what our brain wants to do? It wants to keep eating. It's just mirroring what it's seen, mirroring what it's seen. And if you know that that's happening, you don't have to tell yourself, I have to stop. This is so unfair. Blah, 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 blah. You get to tell yourself like, oh, I don't have to eat just because everybody else is eating. That's just my brain trying to do what everybody else is doing right now. But I can put my fork down. And one thing that I always do is when my food is served and I know it's a big portion, and I'm going to be like, I am not cleaning my plate because I will be miserable later if I do. I visually look at it and no one ever has to know. And I consciously decide how much of the food I'm going to eat today. So I say like, all right, we're going to eat half of this. Right. And sometimes you'll even notice, like, I'll be eating and I'll start naturally scooping things to the side to just give myself a little more visual reminder. This is where we're probably going to stop. I bet this is where we stop. And I'm putting my fork down and I'm still drinking my water along the way. I don't drink liquor with my dinner. Like, if you want to have a glass of wine before you eat, have a glass of wine before you eat. Then say like, oh, I only drink water while I'm eating. And then if you want to have another glass of wine once the food's taken away, have another glass of wine.
Why is that?
Take a wild guess. What does wine do to our brain?
Oh, it makes us not pay attention to stuff. It loosens things up. It, yeah.
Yes. We're just like, eh! We're just Drunky the Clown carrying on. Next thing you know, we're just eating without inhibition and all kinds of shit. So if you have like your one glass before you eat, rather than two or three before you eat, just be like, I either have no wine or a glass of wine before I eat. And then when I eat, I don't touch my wine. I touch my water.
Okay.
Then when I'm done eating, I can drink, but then the food's gone. So then you don't have to fall into the toilet of, well, we're just drinking wine. And the next thing you know, I'm just eating. I just want you to notice that when you tell me what goes on for you, my brain immediately goes to, well, we should just solve all the problems. Like, if this is a problem, we should solve it. And if this is a problem, we should solve it. And if this is a problem, we should just solve it. Like, there's always an answer to these things. And your brain is like, I suck at weight loss.
For 2 years.
No way I can control myself. Yeah. You know, like, I got to do all the things or none of the things. Like, your brain is like just, it's writing fantasy novels. And mine is like getting out the instructions to build the fucking IKEA furniture.
Okay, that gives me something to put into action. And I still don't know how I'm going to get my mindset right for being consistent.
You have to be consistent. Like, what is even consistency? Do you even know what consistency is? Like, to you, what does consistent mean? You tell me what you think.
Being in the habit of doing a certain thing with regularity.
That's not what consistency means at all.
That's what it means.
No. Consistency is simple.
Or it could be like gooey, the consistency of pudding. But
of what?
Like a tactile thing. It could
yeah,
be.
Well, that's another one.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Yes. Consistency. Most of us think consistency is checking boxes. I've done the thing. And I do it every day. And I'm like, it's consistency for a lot of people is code for, well, if my habit tracker is perfect, I was consistent.
Yes.
Consistency doesn't have anything to do with an action, a completion of an action. Consistency is about effort applied. So consistency would be, are you consistently making an effort every day?
No, I'm not.
That's what we want to be looking at. We want to be consistently making efforts because some days you're going to get it right and some days you're not going to get it right. But as long as you're consistently learning, consistently continuing to plan, consistently asking the questions and doing all the things, you don't have a problem. Your problem is you're not consistent in application. You're consistently stopping when it doesn't go correctly.
Yes.
You give up the effort. And I think a lot of it is because you keep defining it as it's hard.
Right.
Like when I told you all that stuff about going to the club and junk, you're like, oh, wow, that sounds pretty easy. So that means you were just thinking about it in a hard way. And I'm just wondering what else in your whole weight loss life that you're thinking that you're making it unnecessarily hard for yourself.
Okay. So I've never journaled, but maybe that's something that I could use to try to figure that out. Maybe that's
I
a tool
would,
that
because
would
I
be good.
only suggest people journal when they want to lose weight easily. If you want to lose it the hard way, keep your shitty mindset and try to lose weight.
So I have this, and it's, I don't know if you can see it.
I can't really see it. That's okay. What is it?
It's a completely empty, brand new journal that even the spine is still stiff.
What I would do is I would take the, if you go to the pathways inside the membership, you need to do
The
weekly.
journaling course.
There's a whole journaling course. Yeah. Don't we have a journaling course?
We do. It's a
Oh my
30-day
gosh.
thing, and I did it a long time ago. Maybe I should
Do
do
it
it.
again. Do it again. I would do, like, if I was you, I would go back through the No BS weight loss course and I would do all the worksheets. Even like, you don't have to do like this is not like every day now I got homework. Just go at a pace that feels very tolerable to you. But I would do all the worksheets because the worksheets are journaling sneaky. Like, we're asking you the questions to kind of uncover a lot of the things that you're avoiding. Like, one of the things that you said is like, I like to, I guess, are you liking to feel full? Like, what I'm trying to figure out, how do you feel when you stop it enough, like in your body?
I feel like I'm not hungry anymore.
Okay, that's not eating to enough. That's called knocking off hunger. That might be part of the problem why you think that there's such a gap between full. Are you like when you now, let's say you eat to what you think is satisfied, like, man, I am emotionally there. Like, this feels great.
Right.
What does that feel like in your body?
That feels like, it feels comfortable. It feels energized. It feels the hungry. It feels like a problem is solved.
What's the problem that's
Hunger being
solved?
a problem.
Okay. How do you like literally try to tell me, like, because you're like acting as if that is all you ever ate to was that,
At
you
home. Now
wouldn't
you're absolutely right on the going out thing, because I that is definitely something that I hadn't really put my finger on, because when I've gone out with other people and distractions and not paying attention.
But when you're at home, why can't you lose weight?
That's why I'm on the coaching call.
Right, but I don't have a camera in your house. You have to tell me things that go on in your home that you think are standing in the way of your weight loss. So if you had to guess, when you're at home, if there was eating that was stopping you from losing weight, what would it be? So, because we kind of took care of the going out to eat stuff. Like, we know how to do an even swap and stuff, but, and you get to be wrong. Just list things that you think when I'm at home, Like if I was home for 2 weeks and I didn't go out to eat, if I didn't lose weight, it would be because I'm doing these things.
Maybe snagging a bite of a chocolate that my husband had around. I don't do it very often, but that would be one.
Like when you say not very
Wine, I
often,
like
how often is
wine.
that?
Wine is probably the biggest calorie thing that I have.
How much, like, let's start with the chocolate. How often are you doing that during the week? Snagging little
Probably
bites
he
of
has
things.
those little round balls that have like the hazelnut things on them.
That's
He
fine.
doesn't like them, and he got one. He got a box of them for Father's Day, and he ate two or three of them, and I probably had three or four of them since Father's Day.
Okay, so we're snagging bites. Is that the only thing you snag bites of in the
Yes,
past month?
as far as snagging them, and then I guess sometimes I like today I put some potato salad on a plate and I licked the spoon before I put the spoon in the sink.
Okay, so
That
you're
kind.
dying by a thousand cuts on tiny bites. So that has nothing to do with your satisfaction. I just want you to.
No, it doesn't. It
This
doesn't.
is the thing, because you are like, it's so hard. Like you just get like jacking all this hard up. And it's like, if we just cut out, this is what I call stupid eating. I'm not making fun of you, I'm making fun of me. Corinne has lots of little stupid eats. It's like I grab a couple chips here. Chris has something, I finish it up. I just want a bite of something that Logan's having, stuff like that. I always call them the dumbass eats because I'm just like, this didn't do it for you. It was a blip.
Right.
It really doesn't. I mean, if you think about it, like you barely can remember them. It's not like you said, I ate those three things that my husband didn't want. It was divine ecstasy. I'm so glad I did it. We rarely ever get these things. Like, my God, let me tell you about every bite that I had. You're just like, well, let's see. Like, those are the dumbass eats that we do that stand in the way of losing. Like, you probably have 10 pounds of dumbass eats in 2 years. I just want you to think about it. In 2 years, I would bet you 10 pounds that you haven't lost literally came from extra licks of a spoon. Had you not licked that, would you be sitting here going like, I really miss that I didn't lick that spoon?
No.
Right. So I'm always like, clean up the stupid shit first, because that's the stuff we don't miss. The hardest part of it is catching ourselves when we're doing it and unwinding that. That's the hardest part.
Yeah,
Because,
because I don't guess I even paid attention to it until you asked me about it.
right. And I guarantee when somebody can clearly tell me one they're doing or two, there's a lot of them. You turn that on for the next month. And even if you
Yes.
eat it and you catch yourself after that, be like, oh shit, there's another one of those things. Like, I really need to pay attention when I'm in the kitchen. I really want to pay attention to see if I'm grabbing things. When I'm doing this, I really need to pay attention if I'm grabbing things. And if you catch yourself grabbing it, even if you eat one or two things, then be like, oh, let me put that away, because this is another one of those little dumbass eats. I'm never going to miss this.
No.
No. Wouldn't you much rather be on this call right now saying, I've only lost 10 pounds in the last 2 years versus I haven't lost anything over hazelnut chocolate creams that I forgot about?
That I don't even really like.
Exactly. That is the other thing about dumbass eats. Half the time is like, let me have a bite of
It.
that. It's like, oh, that sucked. It's like, all right. So we have that.
Yes.
What else? So we know that we need to just clean up mindless eating. That mindless eating is literally just those things where we're just grabbing things, tasting things, licking things, that it's just tiny bites. We want to get rid of those. And I always, and in the course, we talk about like the big, like there's 4 reasons why we eat. There's, you actually eat for hunger. We eat mindlessly, we eat emotionally, and we eat habitually.
Right.
Those are the only four. And we want to get to where I would love it if our mindless and habit eating,
Just went away.
yes, the only habit eating I wish we would do is the habit of doable hunger. If you're only doing that, like, if that's the habit, great. But most of us are like just in the habit of having a snack because other people are.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. All right. What else do you think is standing in your way?
The calories from wine.
Okay, so wine. And how many nights are we drinking?
Most nights.
Like seven, six?
Oh, no, probably two and a half. Like I'll drink a glass of wine while I'm cooking. I love to drink a glass of wine while I'm cooking.
Love how you were like most nights. And I may not be a math wizard.
Oh,
Two out
I
of
thought you
seven
meant how
is at
many drinks. You
most.
were asking me 7 drinks a night. I'm like, oh my gosh, no.
Okay, like so
Okay.
2 days a week or
No.
2 glasses a day?
Probably 2 glasses a day, sometimes more. But
Okay.
two, I like to have a glass of wine while I'm cooking, and that'll
Okay.
last me throughout cooking. And then sometimes I have it with dinner, which I'm going to stop now.
Excellent.
So I'd say two most nights.
Okay.
But when I don't have it, I don't. And when I don't have it, my brain says it's time for wine, and I'm like, not, no. And then I don't miss it. It's fine, whatever else I have. But for a hot minute, it's like, oh, I need a glass of wine. But then
Have
I
you
have something
thought
else.
about just
Fine.
not drinking like 3 days a week to see? Like, just pick 3 nights a week rather than drinking every night 2 glasses of wine. Just trying, like, because it sounds to me like it's not going to be hard for you to not do that. I
No,
could be
I
mistaken, but the way you
don't, you
talk
know,
about it,
my
it's like,
brain will tell me it's time for wine. If I don't have wine, it's like, well, no, we're not having wine. We're going to have
well, my, you know what my
dinner.
brain told me at 12:30? I was literally in the living room sitting on Chris's lap. Do you know what my brain was saying? Don't get on that
Something
call.
fun. What?
Don't get on this call.
Oh.
Well, what else do you think it would say? If I'm sitting on Chris's lap and having a big time, it's not gonna be like, well, time to go to work. I'm so excited. I can't wait to just leave you high and dry. No, my brain is like, psh, we should skip this call. This sucks. Just because your brain says let's do something doesn't mean that we do it. It's so funny to me. Y'all act like it's such a catastrophe when your brain is like, but we should have wine. It's like, yeah. And one time I also said I should just leave Logan in the store because he's acting like an asshole. I didn't do that. And I also didn't call a therapist to be like, is something wrong with me? Because I wanted to leave my asshole child in a store. Like, no, I was just like, ugh, every frustrated mother wants to abandon their child in a Target at some point in life.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay. Now, the only thing I really want to resolve is this difference between, I think right now, if you would focus on those things and quit telling yourself that I think what happened is you were knocking off hunger. And because it was new and fresh, you were able to push yourself that whole month. But then you kind of ran out of steam because it's like at some point, your body's like, I just don't think we're getting enough food. And then, of course, the newness wears off and you're left with what you normally think, which is probably for you, you're getting a lot of enjoyment out of food. And if you're not eating a certain amount, then you're and you're thinking, I'm not going to get enough. I've got to stop it. I got to stop it enough and blah, blah, blah. Then you're not enjoying the food. And so your brain started missing that part and it equated it to a certain amount that you eat. And so what I think is we just go back to eating to it's it to me, it sounds like you know what enough is. It's all these other little shit things that you're doing that's actually standing in your way. So get back to planning, no matter what.
Even if I don't follow the plan.
Will you tell me which person's more likely to lose weight? The
The
person
person
who
who
never
plans and
plans
follows
and
the
eats based on their mood, or the person who is always planning and learning until they figure it out? Because we don't figure it out without plans.
plan. Right. Okay, I guess
Let me say this. If you had for the last 30 days had made a plan, and then every single time you had an accounting of all that mindless eating, like every assessment, you didn't follow it one time in the last 30 days, but you had your assessments, and every single assessment showed you, and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize Look at all these little things. I'm like, that extra lick on the spoon. Look, there was like those three chocolates. There's probably other things. And you notice, like, oh, I've got a pattern. When I go out to eat, I'm eating way past enough. And I'm just eating what I'm just like throwing it all away because I think I'm off plan. That's probably where I should start. You'd have a path.
Okay.
That's the like the whole point of the
That
path.
sounds a lot more doable than what I had built up in my brain.
That's why it's been hard. That's why I wanted to really get on all these things. It's like, I just want you to see losing weight isn't the hard part. The way I think about it is what's making it so hard. But there are ways to make a lot of this easier. It's not to say there won't be moments when there will be hard things, but just imagine if you just saved up for that instead of just making it all way harder.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, I've been taking notes and I
Watch
know what I'm
this
going to
replay
do.
will, yeah, this replay will come out Tuesday. I would watch it again
Okay. And
and
I'm also going to make sure my accountability partners know what I'm doing so that they can. We're kind of a new accountability group. We're just getting to know each other. And so I will reach out.
have them listen to this.
Yeah.
And then I just always encourage everyone. So in August, we are releasing a new set of lessons. It's called Making the Basics Easier. It's going to be the new module two. In there, I just recorded it yesterday. So I'm like
Oh.
fresh off my scripts. I talk about the planning, and I talk about in there that planning is about the spirit of the law. It's not necessarily, are you following it each day? It's good to be following it, but we really, what we are doing with planning is it allows us to make some decisions about our food ahead of time. Knowing what we want for our health, our emotions, our social life, our weight loss, it considers everything. That's the purpose of the plan, is to take into consideration all of our needs, not just the weight loss part, which I think a lot of you plan, like, I need to make a plan that's going to make me lose weight. And you forget, no, you need a plan that lets you do your life while also losing weight, which means having backup plans for the club. Knowing that your life is like 3 to 4 nights a week, I'm very social. People are going to invite me out. These things are going to happen. So, where are the patterns in that? Where do
Right.
I most often go out to eat? What are the things I most often eat? Do I drink every single time? And then you come up with plans around that. So that way it's like, oh, this is super easy. I thought I would be at home tonight. I'm not. So now I'm going to insert plan B because I thought about that ahead of time, ages ago.
Right.
Then the other beautiful thing about the plan is that it's all about, if I'm fixing to break this plan, I want the plan there so that if I'm fixing to do something that I wouldn't be proud of, that tomorrow I'll be like, fuck, like it was fun in the moment, but now I wish I hadn't have done that. It's to keep me like just honest with myself. It's
Right.
to give me a pause so that if I get invited out to eat and I want to just, pitch it or whatever, what the plan says is like, are you sure? I mean, you this morning was pretty giddy up about losing some weight. You this morning felt pretty shitty about like how you're feeling right now, and you were ready to get serious and blah, blah, blah. And it here it is, 5 o'clock, and you're ready to throw us away? That's the plan's job is to nag you and say like, what about me? I represent
The little
your dream.
angel on the shoulder.
Yeah, it's like I represent your dream, your goals, and your deepest desires. And so we want that voice. And what y'all do is like, I don't want that nag here. So go away, dreams, goals, and desires. I'm gonna quit planning.
Okay.
And then that gives you the opportunity to just at least decide what you're going to do. Because a lot of times when you're faced with your dreams, goals, and desires, your best laid plans, then what ends up happening is You make better decisions in the moment. Sometimes we're like, you know what? I'm sticking with my plan. I'm going to go out to eat with my girlfriend. I did not plan wine tonight. This is one of those times I'm going to practice not drinking. I know it's spontaneous, but I also love her. I don't need to be drunk to be around her.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. And then sometimes you do want to break it. And you're like, no, I don't hardly ever get to see this chick and I want to have some wine. Here's my plan B. What I find that happens is when we have that plan and we think it through, as long as you realize the point of the plan is to get you thinking, you just make better decisions. Rather than just being like, well, because I didn't have a plan, it's like, well, thank God she invited me. Let's order fried ravioli, pasta, and like a bottle of wine to share. Because there's no checks and balances then. You don't have a plan nagging you. You don't have anything reminding you of who you might want to be.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So I need to look at it more as a tool rather than once I screw it up, I screwed it up. So why keep doing it?
Yeah, your weight loss, one of the biggest things standing between you and weight loss is the inability to be flexible.
Because those are the rules.
The rules and no BS, like I have a whole lesson on flexibility and spontaneity coming out because the rules of no BS is we're supposed to be being flexible and you're breaking them. You're
Okay.
being inflexible. So you're like, I just want you to remind yourself when I'm being inflexible and I'm not giving myself any kind of learning, consistency with moving forward anyway with my effort, when I'm doing those things, I'm being inflexible. I'm breaking every rule Corinne just laid down. I'm breaking the golden rule. Nowhere in my program do I say, like, Corinne says, you better be perfect. And if you're not, beat the shit out of yourself until you quit. You know, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that's in the lessons.
No, it is not.
But that's your rule that you're following.
Right.
Do it right or stop.
If you're
So
not going to do it right, why do it at all?
tell me why you like. Why bother doing it when you're doing it wrong?
Say that again.
Why bother doing it when you are doing it wrong?
To try again to get it right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you imagine if when kids were learning to walk and the very first time they get up to try to walk and they don't just I don't know, walk with a book on their head across the room. If we were like, well, you fucking didn't do it right. Why bother continuing if you're just gonna stumble for the next 6 months? If all you're gonna do is like fall on your ass after three or four steps, why are we even bothering with this? You might as well let me just get you a wheelchair. I mean, literally, we would never like there's nowhere ever that we're saying those things, except probably in weight loss. Like at your job, do you have a job?
Yes.
Do you ever make a mistake or are you just Miss Perfect?
Oh no, I've made plenty of mistakes.
Yeah, like that'd be like you going like, why go to work anymore? I might as well just quit. I know I'll have to sell my house. Probably won't be able to eat. I mean, there's definitely no more wine and days at the club anymore, but why bother going to work if I'm just gonna mess up sometimes? I
Right.
can't even drive down the road without I have a Tesla. Yesterday, I'm like Marco Polo and Jane. I got it on my little mount and everything. I'm just a talking. That thing is just yelling at me. I'm like, why is the car yelling at me? And it's because it didn't like that I was driving too close to one line on one little old road because I live on back roads. And I'm like, could you imagine if I was like, why bother driving anywhere? I'm 50 years old and I can't even like drive without my car yelling at me.
All right.
Right. We're gonna be flexible. You're gonna learn how to be flexible. And you're gonna know that the only reason why, like, it's a like, why bother doing it if you're not gonna do it right? It's like, why would I bother? What is the upside to continuing? What is, where's the learning here? Because that's how the world works. Why am I trying to work against like Mother Nature?
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you.
All righty. Bye bye.
Bye.
Dana? Oh, Robin, if you think that's annoying, whenever I drive Logan's, Logan also has a Tesla. We went electric because, well, my husband went like, I'm actually wanting to buy another gas car. I'm one of the half of the Americans that have the electric vehicle. Let me tell you the bitch about the EV is we have family that live in fucking bumfuck. Like my dad lives in bumfuck. Chris's dad lives in bumfuck. And to get there, like we have to be very strategic because there's not many plugs. And so sometimes we have to rent a gas car to go visit people. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, so anyway, Logan's is set to very, I call it set to bitchy because it is going to, I mean, you can't do anything in that car without it yelling at you. You go 1 mile over the speed limit, it's like, I mean, it's just constantly, it is a perfectionist nightmare. And, but Logan likes that because he likes to make sure he follows all the rules. And I get in there and I'm having an anxiety attack all the time. It's like, I'm 50, I know how to drive, quit yelling at me. All right. Dana, tell me all the things.
Hello, Corinne.
Some people don't know what a bum fuck is.
I rented an electric car for a work trip, and oh man, did I plan wrong. It was in a very small town. I had the same thing going.
Yes, it is a learning curve. I mean,
it is. I loved it. I loved the car, but that's just not for me right now. This is hilarious. I kicked my family out and sent them to brunch so they wouldn't interrupt me. So I hope they're enjoying their bacon.
Right. Well, what do you want cooking on now that you got all this lovely me time?
I know, right. I should have fixed my hair. I look like I combed it with a balloon. Okay, you coached me a while back about my job, and it was wonderful. You absolutely changed my complete outlook on it and everything. And now the jobs are problem again. So before, I have a weight requirement and I have a physical fitness requirement, and you coached me about my mindset with that. What is happening now is all the tools and everything that I have put into place, I feel like they're not working because the situation has changed a little bit. I'll tell you a little bit about my job. I am a nurse practitioner in the only high security.
Wait a minute. Are you yes. Are you holding your phone?
I am.
Can you
am I moving
your hand? It sounds like you're got your hand maybe over your mic. You sound a little.
Oh, maybe I am. Oh, you know what? I bet it's my earbud.
Do you mind taking them out?
Hang on one second. Can you hear me now?
I hear you so much better. Like, Corinne don't hear that well,
I can't
so
hear you at all.
She needs no obstructions.
Let me see. Can I go like this? Can you hear me now? You can just see my
Yeah. Phone. Yeah, that's
okay.
Nice.
I'm going to tip my phone a little bit. Okay. I am a nurse practitioner in the only high-security sex offender penitentiary in the nation. I actually love my job. I do. You guys have seen Dateline and Netflix programs about my guys, my monsters, as I call them. It is very hard. I have to be on point all the time because of the nature of the job. So when I'm at work, I'm at work. You have to be on. You have to make, like, I'm talking about, you have to make sure nobody's walking up behind you.
Yeah.
Like that, to that level. So I've dialed it in. From some of the tips you gave me, I make sure that my lunch is something that is really quick. I do not get a break. I don't get to take a lunch. I also don't, I'm like the teachers. I don't drink water at work because two reasons. One, it's very difficult to go to the bathroom. You have to lock and unlock many doors. And then there's just something super vulnerable about going to go pee when you know there's a ton of sex offenders have horrendous crimes right on the other side of the door.
I understand all that. So what do you
Yeah, so I did all that. So what is happening now is they I am one of only two people left as a provider, and the other one's leaving. So they've completely overloaded us. Too many appointments, too many things. When I get home, even though I have things for transition time and how to relax, I feel like my brain is off. And I do make a plan every day. I make sure there's good stuff on it, lots of choices, everything. What I'm realizing is, like, at the end of the day, when I go to assess, I can't even remember what I have eaten. Like, I can't get my brain to reengage. I feel like I'm not, it's not a relaxation thing. I feel like I have such decision fatigue, mm-hmm. and my brain has been on for so long. It's like I'm a zombie and I can't, this is like, I feel like the last piece that I need to figure out. Because since everybody has left and I realized that the other person was leaving, I gained 10 pounds.
Okay. Let me ask
you. And I know it's what I'm thinking.
Well, I don't know if it's what you're thinking. I think what you're experiencing at night is real. I mean, like, okay. If that was my day all day long, I would probably, like, your brain is like, okay, we should really turn off now.
Okay.
So what do you think should be happening at night?
I
tell you what, can you take your earbuds just out? It would be a lot easier if you take them out. Okay.
The only problem is I can't hear you.
Why can't you hear me?
Wait.
Hold Can on. You just disconnect your earbuds?
Let me see if I turn it.
I was just wondering if you go into your settings and if you just turn off the Bluetooth or just turn off your earbuds, then it should take my audio and put it on your phone. I want to pause this real quick. Lisa, don't let me forget.
Happening is there should be a way for me to, I feel calm in the evenings. I just feel like I'm not connected to the right part of my brain to make good decisions. Like, I do my little protocol and I do all that stuff, but it's almost like decision fatigue. Like, I can't engage.
What are you trying to decide in the evenings?
I'm trying to connect to make sure that I'm not overeating.
Okay, so you come home,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to overeat.
Yes. And so I and do look plan.
How is the overeating happening right now?
Like, the overeating is happening. I come home, I look at my plan, and I say, I also food prep. So I go and I heat up whatever my dinner is. And I feel like I can't engage my brain to ask the question, have you had enough?
So I don't think that's a problem. Can you not just serve yourself what you think enough is, and that be the food prep, and you just eat that?
That's
and then we
what
don't have to decide anything.
That's what I'm doing. Like, my portions, I portion it out to what I think would be an okay amount.
Okay.
But I know I'm overeating. I know I am.
All right. Tell me about that. Like, where are you overeating?
It's at my meals. I have noticed there's a couple of times at work that I'll go to grab something and I think, are you really hungry? And I do put it back.
Okay. But let's go to where you're actually overeating at night.
At night, dinner and snacks.
Okay. Are you actually overeating dinner though? Because you told me that you're portioning it of what you think is enough. How do you know you're overeating dinner?
Because previously I would leave 3 to 4 bites behind. I always put those 3 to 4 extra bites in there in case, like, sometimes we have to run at work and I get home and I'm really hungry. And so I'm not sure if I should. So what happens is if I portion myself smaller, like 3 or 4 bites less, I find, like, I'll go to get a snack. I'll say I'm hungry. The other thing, I realized that I was not drinking enough water. So the first thing I do when I get home, I pound one of my huge Yetis full of water. So that's okay. Been helpful. But then when I go, I feel like I'm mindlessly shuffling. Like, I'll say, okay, that wasn't enough dinner.
It's like an hour or two before bedtime. I am hungry. I'll go out there and I'll pour.
You said, I am hungry.
I am hungry, but it should be for a little snack. A little snack.
How do you know that?
Because that's what's worked in the past.
Okay, but no, as soon as that might not be what's going to work in the present. How do you know right now, regardless of what happened in the past? How do you know right now? I'm hungry, and it should only be this a little bit amount. How do you know?
Okay, so for example, last night, or Friday night on my plan was I was going to have some chips. I go out to the kitchen. I pour my chips into a bowl. And I immediately have the thought of, that's too much. It wasn't to the top of the bowl, Corinne. It was over the top of the bowl. Ooh, big bowl of chips. And I literally said, that's too much.
And okay, you know what then what did you do?
I said, I don't care.
Okay.
And I ate chips.
So here's what I want to tell you.
Okay.
You're very connected to your body. This whole idea that you're not connected is not true. Because every time I've asked you a question, you have given me explicit detail.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. So we don't have to worry that at night you can't connect with your body. I think you have really good awareness, which is good because you need this awareness. I know when I'm overeating. I know when I'm going past enough. I know what enough is. Like I'm even serving myself what I need.
Okay,
so you got a lot going on there. I think the problem is you're having urges to keep eating and you're just not saying no to them.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with whether or not like your brain is checked out and stuff. So why do you want to keep eating? Let's go back to the chips.
Okay.
You serve yourself a bowl of chips. It's a mound. And your immediate thought is, I know that's too many. I don't need this much. And your brain is like, but no, we should just eat them. Why do you want to just eat them?
I think the action of eating and enjoying it, I've gotten to the point where like when I do eat, I'm like, ooh, we're looking at what we're eating. We're enjoying it and all this stuff. So it's kind of a distraction to where my brain wants to go.
Where does it want to go?
My brain wants to think about work and how in about 2 weeks, I am going to be the only person there. And despite me trying to advocate for myself, going to my bosses, hey, I can't see this many people. I can't be responsible for all this extra stuff that comes in along with emergency stuff like that. My bosses say, okay, but then their actions don't change. So they don't change the number of appointments. They don't change.
Yeah, none of that's going to change. We just want to change. We just want to imagine it's going to be as bad as you think it's going to be.
It will be. And so I think what is happening is I know that, and there's no counter thought to that. So when I think about like, what I start doing is oh my gosh, Corinne, this is it. This is it.
Tell me.
Okay. I'm going to cry because I'm so happy. The night before, I think about how I can set myself up better for the next day. Oh, I can't believe this is it. So glad you called on me. So my brain starts thinking, okay, so in the morning, can you get there 10 minutes early? Yeah, I can get there 10 minutes early. And I'm like, okay, so what do you need to do first? First thing I need to do your emails, do all this other stuff that's happened overnight. And so then I start thinking about it and I know no matter what, I'm going to suck in a way because I can't get it all done. There's no way I can't get it done. Okay. And then I start thinking like, well, could you make it better? Corinne, I don't get paid overtime or anything. I have donated hundreds of hours to them. I get out every single day late. On Friday, this is exactly what it is. On Friday, I left work 3 hours late and stuff still wasn't done. This is why I still have somebody to help me. That's what it is. It's me trying to think how I can make it better and fix the things that are 100% not in my control. They're never going to schedule me less. They're never going to hire more people. It's not going to change. It's me trying to shut that part of it off. Like there is no.
I think the part you're really trying to shut off, because I want to offer you this. All right.
Okay.
Same scenarios. So no matter what, you're going to be, the good news is you're a rock star employee. I wish I had 100 of you.
I wish I could quit the work for you.
Well, I like, you know, I love my team. I do. I love my team. And Lisa's here. She's one of our rock star employees. Yeah. Having people that care, like for you especially, care about a job mm-hmm. more than they care about you. Like, yeah. God, like, I mean, you're an employer's dream. So we want to keep the fact is basically overworked, underappreciated. You're not going to get help. Like all of that's just going to be happening.
Yeah.
At night though, I think the painful thought isn't so much nothing's going to change, because I don't think anything has to change. You're just the kind of person that you like the people that you, I mean, you have purpose in your job.
I do.
It's the thought, I'm going to suck no matter what. That's the thought I think that's driving all of it. I think you're trying to show up early, trying to do all these things, not from the, like, I just want you to imagine if you were doing all that because you're like, I'm going to show up early because I want to give my all to this purpose-driven job.
Well, I want to give my all.
Are we showing up early because it's like, well, no matter what I do, it's going to suck. And it's like, if I just do enough, maybe I won't suck.
Well, and the thing is that I've been trying to tell myself is it doesn't matter. I know I don't suck at my job, and my monsters totally love me. I always tell everybody.
But unconsciously, when you were crying and you were just babbling about it, like, this is what happens. It's like when I say these things, it's like, well, I intellectually know blah, blah, blah. But something deep down in you really believes I'm going to suck no matter what.
Well, to me, not completing a job, you know, it's, they keep trying to tell me they're going to come up with the perfect schedule. They're going to
don't
come
worry
up
about that. What is this completing a job? If I don't complete the job, what does that mean?
I think it's them telling me that there's going to be some magic schedule. There's
No. I want you to answer my question. I think you think this is the problem, but answer my question.
When I think, because of what they say to me, there must be a way to get it all done on some level, even though intellectually I know that's not true. So it's almost like conflicting input, kind of. Like the interactive.
You have this. I want you to try this on.
Okay.
I'm in a job that's never ending.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter how hard you work. It doesn't matter how many hours you donate. True. I would almost bet you it doesn't matter if they hired three more people. You're probably in a job that, number one, they can't afford to hire enough people to do it to where all of you have a fair work-life balance.
That's true, because we had six people at once and it still wasn't getting done. So now we're down
exactly.
To two.
So I want you to think about that.
Okay.
Your brain has this idea that you wouldn't suck if somehow, if I could just do enough, I wouldn't suck. And it's like you've given yourself an impossible formula. It's like you're in a job that doesn't matter how many hours you work or how many people they hire. It's just an endless list of things to do.
Yes.
It's like me.
Yes.
I'm never going to have a day in no BS ever where everything's done. Every member's well taken care of. You're all losing weight. Like, we're never having a night where no one overate. I could work around the clock, and I have tried it. I have done the years where I worked from, you know, 4 or 5 a.m. to 10, 11 o'clock at night. If I wasn't working behind the scenes, I was in the Facebook group, coaching, with less members than we have now. And I still could never save everyone.
So can I ask you then, how... because I'm trying to show up for myself now. So I keep telling them, I cannot keep working extra. And unfortunately, what happens is there becomes a point where you have to chart everything before you go home. And I get to a point and I realize I there's no way it's going to happen. So how do you get to the point where you you say, I'm not going to work this much. And then you put those boundaries up. Is there something you can tell yourself or even other people where it's a solid, we're done, and you just leave it? Because I'm not really, I can leave some things for sure. And that's what I'm working on now. I can't leave the charting. So I'm not sure how
just to do the best you can. This is, I think, what you're really asking me. This is usually what you're really asking.
Yeah.
How do I leave work undone without feeling bad about myself? And how do I leave work undone without worrying they think I'm a bad employee?
And that is a big part of it, the bad employee thing, because I'm worried when it gets down to my review and all this stuff that they're going to give me a bad review. And then somehow, like, it'll bother me because I know it's not true, but that's not going to stop
But it
them.
Won't bother you if you know it's not true. If you know that you're in a losing situation.
Oh, absolutely, I am.
Then it won't bother you because then you'll just be like, look, I could have worked all the hours. And it was never going to make, no one was ever going to be really happy. But me working all the hours made me completely miserable. And they weren't even that happy.
Right.
So there's always that. So I think, I just want you to pay attention to what I think you're really asking. I don't think you're actually asking, how do I set up boundaries? You already know the boundaries you need to set up. Like sometimes I'm not going to get to all the charting.
I guess
that's just the nature.
Do what? I'm worried about dealing with the consequences of the boundaries.
Well, let's ask yourself this, though. So let's just make sure that what you think the consequences are realistically going to happen.
Okay.
You're the last man standing?
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 4, with 4 being for sure getting fired, 1 being it's a no. They can't afford to lose me because nobody else wants this sorry sack of shit job. All right? 1 to 4. Let's say you go in and you just start doing the boundaries. As of right now, you think are like I'm still going to give a lot. I just can't kill myself over this. So now I'm going to ratchet it down from sudden death level of working to die by 1,000 cuts for now. And then maybe I'll go to peace of mind or whatever it is.
Okay.
What are the odds of you getting just a scathing review?
It is 1 least likely and 4 is most likely?
Yeah.
4.
Getting a scathing review if you don't finish your charts every day.
Yes, ma'am. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
They just fired my clinical director for doing that.
Okay. So here's the good news. You know that charts are really important to them.
Yes.
Okay. So now when you think about what are the parts of my job that I'm going to need to have some boundaries and let go of.
Okay.
Charts might not be one of them. What else could you cut back on to make sure those charts got done?
I could leave the hospital return paperwork. Although there's orders with it, but it's a less priority. We also do like our version of an urgent care in the morning. And so I was leaving that to like put in the appointments that could wait. But I actually just got in trouble for that. They told me I have to put them all in. You know what? I need to sit with my tasks. And my friend is still there. She's going to be there for 2 more weeks. Maybe we can put our heads together and come up with that actually makes me feel really good. If I come up with a list of prioritized tasks, charting for sure is one. And then, you know, seeing the people. But I think there may be some wiggle room in return paperwork, and somebody else is just going to have to do the sick calls. You know what? Actually, hold on. This is a great idea. I guess if I take the sick calls and I don't make it all the way through, I could walk over to my boss and say, I didn't get to these and I need to have my charting done. Can you either do them yourself or assign them to somebody? Because I can't do them today. That's a great idea. She's going to be so mad.
Well, but I don't think she's, this is, it. I will tell you from an employer. Well, if you say like, can you do them? If it was my employer, I would go in because this, you're right on track. This is exactly what I was going to tell you. Usually a lot of times things like this change and we have to look for the areas that we actually can control. Cause it sounds like yes. You want to keep your job.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're a valued employee. So we know those two things.
Okay.
If I go to my boss and say, hey, you know, I've been getting after it today. I know how important charting is. And I know you want me to get these things done. Here's the other things that that we also are saying that we need to get done every day. I don't have the hours to do that. So how would you like me to handle this?
Okay.
And because then what that does, this is what I always tell my employees, that I'm going to give you way more work than you probably can do. A lot of times, not because I like giving you too much work, because I want to see what your capacity is. And I want to see how you can find faster, better ways to get things done. I want to see if you know how to prioritize. I want to see if you know what demands A+ work versus C- work. I want to see what that's like. And if you get in a place where you're just like, I've got way too much work. And now I'm going to bring to you, here's the order I think you think is important. Then that allows me to be like, you know what? This isn't that important. Don't worry about that. This is what's important.
Okay. So I like it.
That is, you know, to an employer, we love employees like that. The other thing that I would do is before this other person leaves, is I would just sit down with my boss and say, hey, I've really been thinking about how we can get all this done. When it's just me, here's what I think are the things that you really value. And here's the things that I know are going to be really hard for me to get done before I leave each day. Like, here's the things that I'm anticipating being difficult. What do you like? Can we come up with a way, like, can you help me decide when these things absolutely need to get done and when they can wait? Are there any of these things? And maybe you have some ideas where you can go in and it's like, I've really been thinking about this thing. I don't think we have to do it this way anymore. Like, maybe we can cut out some of these steps. Like, this is like one of those times where we have to be thinking about if we want to stay in a job, we can't just sit there and bellyache about it and take it to pass. Because that doesn't work for you. That makes you eat it. Right? So if you choose to stay in a job and the job is the one that you have, it's like they're kind of telling you, here's the rules of employment for here. You have two choices. Make the best of it and do things like this. Well, you have three choices. Take it in the butt, wear yourself out, never be happy and whatnot, or quit. Those are usually our three choices. And most people, they take the second option. I'll just take it in the ass, pretend I have no control, never speak up because those conversations are hard to have. I have no plan Bs or whatever. It's like, I'm just always, if I'm breathing, I have control.
Okay.
Until I draw my last breath, I have got control over my life in some form or fashion.
Right.
It's
right.
Just
and that's where
I'm willing to have these. Go ahead. Sorry.
Thing, you know, I've been using all the No BS stuff to keep everything I have in under control, but there are things that I don't have control over. But I think that your idea, I think I'll send her an email because then she'll respond back in email and I can say, as per your email, look, this is what we said we were going to do. And the other thing I'm wondering too is we tend to suffer in silence at this job because our bosses, they're not in the clinic. They're out. They have a million other meetings to go to. So they don't check in with us regularly. And maybe I know she's aware, but maybe she doesn't realize all the other tasks. So I think maybe bringing stuff to her and say, I can't get to this today. How are we going to make sure this happens?
Yeah.
What should we do?
One thing I would never assume about a boss, like my team, They will like I'll just have a random meeting with someone. Like I'm almost always just meet with the leadership team, but every now and then I'll be meeting with, you know, like Kathy or, you know, somebody else on the team. And they just assume I know everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Every single time. And they'll say like, but you told us 3 years ago to do this. And I'm like, I can't remember how I scratched my ass 3 minutes ago, much less like something I told you to do 3 years ago. Yeah. So bosses love updates. You know what we don't like? We don't like you taking it in the ass until you bust into our office one day crying and then telling us everything's a disaster.
Yeah.
She love information. Your boss would rather hear from you, probably, if I had to guess, because she is really busy and she's not in the clinic and stuff. She'd probably like just little check-ins of, hey, just want to let you know I got all these things done, so you don't have to worry about this. But these things, they kind of keep like not getting done because we, as you know, we're shorthanded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this job used to be done by six. It's now done by one. And I just want to keep you abreast of it, because if you want these things done, I'm going to need help kind of figuring out what your priorities are. So you just let me know. And that okay. makes you seem like a team player.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. So they send emails out. Hey, team. Good morning, team. And I actually said to them, could you please, because we have our clinic administration, then we have over us administration. And I finally said to them, could you please stop using the word team? Because this is not a team. It's not a team. I feel like you guys are standing on my back while I'm drowning. So that was, they did listen. They were actually very shocked. But so I think, yeah, I think I'm going to have to be a team with her, because here's what's crazy. Not only did they fire my clinical director, she's not really my administrator. She's the assistant administrator. They fired the administrator and put her in charge. And there's supposed to be two assistant administrators, one administrator. And now it's just her. So maybe I can approach her like, I know we're both getting creamed and killed every day. So can we please come and figure out what we can do? That's my dog being so naughty.
I would just say, like, I wouldn't even say, can we come together? Just say like, hey, I bet you're working under the same stress as I am.
Yeah, I know she is.
Like, I want to help you as much as I can. And here's how I can help you. I can do check-ins. I can tell you when I can and can't get things done so that you're never blindsided. I can reach out for help rather than being silently frustrated.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to tell you, all of you, as an employer, like I have 20 plus in no BS. We've got 20 or 30 at our restaurant. As someone who literally manages people all the time, we love people like you who do things like that. What we don't like is to be like, I need to have a meeting. I've been like silently taking it in the butt for 3 months. And now I want to cry, yell, scream, and tell you about how I can't take it anymore. It's like, why didn't you tell me on day two that you were stressed?
Right. And I do reach out to her too, because sometimes if I know there's going to be trouble, because sometimes I know way in advance of other people, because my monsters do talk to me. I run to find her and I'm like, hey, just to let you know, this person's going to, we're getting sued. This person's going to try and commit suicide. You know, he's going to go start a fight. So I've reached out in those capacities. So I think I need to do it for everything.
Yeah. Just think about these little moments where you can be making your day a little bit better, because if you're handling to go back to the eating at night, if you're handling your day better and you feel like you have a little bit more control, or you feel like, you know, like just tell me a word, a feeling that comes up for you when we think about approaching things the way that I've been talking about, where you're not just like, I got to set boundaries and I'm going home at a specific, like I'm, you know, completely, revolting. But it's like, now it's like, I'm going to set myself up for success. I am not leaving this job, but I'm also not going to kill myself in this job either. What I am going to do, though, is continue to do my best. They're going to get my best. They're not getting a half-assed version of me. They're not getting anything else. They're just going to get my best. But this is what the best looks like under these circumstances. How does that feel?
It feels a lot better.
Yeah. So you feel lighter, maybe?
I do.
Okay. Then you're going home with that.
Yeah.
You're going home. Now, you might go home tired, from a hard day's work, but you're not going home emotionally exhausted because you have no boundaries. You're not asking for help. You're worrying you're not getting shit done. And underneath all of it is, I must suck because I can't get it all done. It's like, no, you can't get it all done because it's a job that was never designed to have a finish line.
Right. You know, what's weird is when I'm at work, I don't really think about it because you can't. It's like whack-a-mole 3000. And then I feel like my brain is numb to a certain level while I'm there. Because I'm like, just keep going, just keep going, just keep going. Next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing. And it's almost like when I get home, I give myself permission to think about the day. Does that make sense? And then I'm like, I should have thought about this earlier. And then I can't like turn it off. And then like, to me, of course, I'm going to the old habits. Let's go get something, you know, tasty and good and, you know, all that stuff. So maybe I need to build in a 10 minute break during the day where I just stop everything and sit there. Because
I guarantee you won't get any, like if it's just a 10 minute break to kind of just sit there and collect yourself and stuff, it's not like in those 10 minutes you were going to bust out so much work that they're going to be like, oh, wow, this made all the difference. We don't have to hire anyone. I mean,
yeah, no, that's what I'm saying is that so going a million miles in an hour and trying to put out every single fire that can't be put out, you know, I think maybe taking 10 minutes where I literally shut my door, take my hands off the keyboard, close my eyes, even if it was 5, and just sit there and don't do anything. Maybe by the time, because I just feel like, you know, like I don't even take time to think. Like I know when I get hungry, and so I sort of ignore it all of a sudden. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I take I stand up in my office and I'm like, I can't think right. And I'm like, okay, hold on, stand up for a second. And then I'm like, I think I might be hungry. Okay, sit down and eat. And I'm eating with one hand and keep going. It's like, I think I turn my brain off during the day and maybe that needs to, I can't go for 8 hours straight, which is really 12.
So but maybe, that's the things that you need to just be paying attention to. And it's like, all right, there are little ways to give yourself some ease during the day. Like just don't work while you eat. Like that's a real simple one. I will tell all of you, a lot of you, like eating takes less than 10 minutes.
It does.
And there's nobody here who is going to eat in 10 minutes or less while you're working, where it's like, thank God I did that. That changed the trajectory of this company. Not going to happen.
The trajectory is always down.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just literally, like when y'all convince yourself you don't have time to eat, it's like, I don't have time to waste in my life eating and working. I'm just going to eat and then I'm going to get back to work.
Right.
And like literally convincing yourself nothing bad happens. The worst thing that happens when you eat without working is you're sitting there thinking about things like, I'm going to suck no matter what. It's like, that's what happens at work. It's like the reason why we want to eat and work is because we're terrified of the thoughts we'll have if we just take a break. I'll never get everything done. My bosses are going to like give me a bad write up. Like we compound it on. It's like literally your review will be no different whether or not you ate in front of your keyboard or you ate alone for 10 minutes.
That's true, because that 10 minutes, in that 10 minutes, every single task of the day is not getting done.
No, it's not. But you are getting fried to where you probably work with a little less energy the rest of the day. Like you probably can't visually see it, but when you're go, 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 at some point you're just having moments where you have to just sit back for a minute. You're distracted or you're worried about something. Those things add up, but we never see them. Because we're not just giving ourselves a small break. All right. Yeah.
I say over and over again, wait, what am I doing? Wait, what am I doing? I've gotten so turned around. I don't know what I'm doing. So I think, I'm going to have to just do the breaks. Because you're right. Nothing's getting done in that 10 minutes.
At least try it. and yeah. see what happens.
Okay.
If you so, have a yeah. better quality of life and you're getting just as much done, no harm, no foul. If the That's worst thing true. That happens is one less, I don't know, chart gets done each day.
Yeah. Oh, well.
You'll figure it out.
Honestly, if it comes down to it, if I have to tell him I can't see this last appointment because I'm not going to get done, I guess he'll get rescheduled. I mean, honestly, they're almost all lifers. Pretty sure he'll be there tomorrow.
Very true. They're not going anywhere.
It's
all right.
Though, because done other things that you've said, like I drive home in silence. There's a little 5 or 10 minute gap when I'm sitting in the car. I check in with my accountability partners. By the way, if anyone does not have an accountability partner, go get one right now. Go get you a partner. They're amazing. So I've done all that, but you're right. Okay. I knew you'd help me find places to try other things, and you've been right before. So I'm going to bet you're right again.
Keep us posted on what happens.
Thank you.
Okay? All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a good call. I want to we're way over, but I did want to address, because I got to go somewhere. I'm supposed to be somewhere in like 10 minutes, but I want to address one thing I read in the comments. It was something about, Maria. This is a great call, but I can't let go of the thoughts of work. Even the next day, it's literally life and death for some. That is true. There's like some of you are nurses and doctors. You're in positions and in jobs where it's life or death. Okay. But what do you make that mean? Right now, the rest of your statement is, and mistakes harm. So don't ever feel calm. So that's the thought about, like, I am in a position where if I'm a pharmacist, I coached a pharmacist one time on this, I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse, you're in these positions, right? If you think mistakes cause harm, you are going to suffer through your job, that you're going to kill someone. Here's the truth. That could happen, but what is the likelihood? Is it like I should be on edge every single day causing myself harm in order to not harm others? Or could I somewhere believe deep inside me that I would never intentionally harm anyone? Even if I made a mistake, most mistakes are not good. Like, I want you to really think about this. Our brains are so scared of certain things. And so it will, if you have a 1 in 1 million chance of harming someone, it will spend every single day focused on the one thing that it could do and miss out on the 999,000 opportunities where you will never do any harm. And we act like we need to worry and have that obsessive thinking as if that's what's keeping people safe. And I will promise you, the reason why you're good at your job is not because you're a panicky, anxious mess. Most people who are panicky, anxious, and all of those things fuck up more than people who are calm and believe that they know how to do their job. If you were in your job each day and you were actually going through it calmly and just saying like, I know how to handle things. I have been to school. Look at all the people I've never harmed before. All of that stuff, you will have way more peace and calm in your job. It's not like you're going to turn into some willy-nilly like, here, let me just juggle knives while I, you know, try to operate on someone. It's not like you would turn into a fucking fool. You would just go home at night knowing you did your best. It is true. You could do harm. It is true. It's life or death. But is it useful to fixate on that part? Where's the harm in doing that? That's the question to be asking. Because now we want to work on like, how can I focus on how good I am at my job? How responsible I am. How I work really hard to be mistake-free. And if there is going to be mistakes, I will deal with it. There is no upside to sitting around and scaring yourself shitless all day and all night long to try to prevent a mistake. It doesn't work. You may not be making mistakes at work, but I guarantee you're making them all over the place in your eating. And so that means, like, I may not harm a patient, but one day I'm going to be in that bed because I harmed me with every overeat worrying about them and what I might do to them instead of believing I've got education, I have passion, and I care so much about people that I would never harm them. That's what we want to be thinking about. So we just want to, like, you know, today I think the whole theme of coaching for the last like 3.5 hours I've been going is look for those root cause things that are happening with us. Nobody's eating and gaining weight simply because you're not good at following the basics. The basics are so seamless. They just work with your human nature. They don't work when there's stuff underneath jacking up the system. Like wanting to eat at night because you can't shut your brain down doesn't mean I need more techniques on not how to eat at night. The answer is staring you in the face. If I don't want to eat at night anymore, I've got to learn why my brain is in hyperdrive. What am I believing that makes me stew, be anxious, that makes me worry at night? I need to face all of those things and combat them, get coached around them. And for all of you, you do not have to wait on a call in order to unwind this. These are the things I want you taking to ask coaches. Please quit asking them how to quit overeating at night. Go and tell them, I'm overeating at night because if I wasn't eating, I'd be forced to be thinking about these things. I would be feeling these things. This is what's going on for me. Take all of that and then let us help you do that. That way, we solve those things. They're the actual disruptors of your life. Then, like, letting go of some eating becomes so easy because when the eating's gone, at least you have like your back. You're not having to sit there being like, I'm not eating. And now all I'm left with is my runaway ass brain about all of its worries and fears. We got to conquer the worries and fears so that your brain is like, and I don't need the food anymore. Okay. That is it. Man, I've been going today. Dear Lord. I was off one weekend and like, here I am. I'm just like, I'm going to coach all fucking day. So, and I appreciate everybody letting me go sans makeup. No one even commented like, oh, you look a little tired today. I've got such bad allergies right now that I couldn't even imagine putting any makeup on this face today. So I was just like, oh, we got to go makeup free. Y'all have a good one. I will talk to you soon, Legacy. Bye-bye.